Thank you, Deb, and the our praise team helpers out this morning. Ken and Niani are away for the weekend, so appreciate you all filling in. If you would turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 6, please. Luke chapter 6, page 836 in your Red Pew Bibles. We continue to follow along as Luke is introducing us to Jesus, and he shows us yet another aspect of Jesus here this morning. How well do you sleep at night when you have something really important to do the next day? Really important, or that something's on your mind. I don't know about you, but generally, I can fall asleep rather easily. I'm usually tired enough when I hit the pillow, I'm out. My problem is when I wake up in the night, and as I get older, that seems to be more often, when I wake up in the night, and it just seems hard to go back to sleep, right? Your mind's racing. Oh, I got to address that. What am I going to do about that? Oh, you know, I got that problem I got to fix. I got to call so-and-so and, you know, that issue. And my mind just racing over and over and over. Now, if you're like some people, you just pull an all-nighter. How many of you went to college and you pulled an all-nighter in college? Anybody do all-nighters? That was not me, man. I did not. I needed my sleep. I never pulled an all-nighter, you know, to stay up and do, you know, study for the exam. But our scripture today, Jesus has one of these stressful days ahead of him, and he pulls an all-nighter, okay? But he's not stressed. Jesus is not stressed, and he's not spending the night studying. He is, as Susan already gave it away, he's going to be praying. Okay, so let's look at this here, starting on in verse 12, Luke chapter 6, verse 12. And before we do, let's pray, all right? Father, we just thank you for our time of worship. We thank you for our time together, our church family, brothers and sisters, just coming together after crazy weeks to just worship you, to just love one another, to just sing about you and open up your word. And so, Lord, as we do this morning, we, many ways, we're looking for hope. We're looking for peace. We're looking for comfort. We're looking for direction. And so, Lord, we ask that you would give us what we need. And if it's not something that, if it's something different, if we're looking for something different, Lord, correct our thinking. Correct our thinking. Give us the courage to wrestle with that. We ask your Spirit continue to move even during this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, start in verse 12, Luke chapter 6. One of those days, Jesus went out to a mountainside to pray and spent the night praying to God. Spent the night. Let's sit there for a while. Spent the whole night praying to God. Jesus is a human being, okay? I would have a problem with this first, okay? This is a struggle for me, okay? First of all, to stay up all night, but Jesus stayed up all night praying to God. And when morning came, he called his disciples to him and chose 12 of them, whom he also designated apostles, meaning those who are sent out. Simon, whom he named Peter, his brother Andrew, James, John, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, James, son of Alphaeus, Simon, who was called the Zealot, Judas, son of James, and Judas Iscariot, who became a traitor. And he went down with them and stood on a level place. And a large crowd of his disciples, other disciples, Jesus had all kinds of disciples, not just the 12, okay? And they were there, and a great number of people from all over Judea, from Jerusalem, and from the coastal region around Tyre and Sidon, who had come to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. Those troubled by impure spirits were cured, and the people all tried to touch him because power was coming from him and healing them all. Okay, let's pause there. Let's just stop there for a moment. I want to imagine that Jesus is me, waking up in the middle of the night. Man, tomorrow's the day. I got to pick 12 disciples. I got to pick 12 of these guys. I'm not quite sure who to pick, all right? I got to spend this time teaching. There's got to be a lot of people. I've got to spend time teaching people. I don't know. My sermon's not ready yet. I've got to spend time healing. These people are going to be coming all over and going to have, you know, I'm just going to spend time with them, and, man, they're going to drain me. And I can imagine if Jesus is me, making this checklist of all the things that he had to do. Now, I don't know about you. If that's me, I'm getting a little anxious about the big day tomorrow. I got a lot of stuff to do. And what do we tell people when they got a big day ahead of them? Hey, you got a big day tomorrow. Get some sleep, right? Get some sleep. But Jesus' attitude is not like that at all. I've got a big day tomorrow. I can't sleep. I can't go to bed. I can't afford to go to bed. I got to pray. I got a big day ahead tomorrow. I've got to pray. Totally opposite of our thinking, isn't it? I mean, you think about it. It's totally opposite of our thinking. Because what do we say when we have a big day ahead of us? I got to get up early and get started on that day, right? I don't have time to pray. I've got people to see and things to do. That's how we're busy, right? But Jesus is, man, I am so busy. I got such a big day tomorrow. Well, I got to pray. That's his attitude. And part of the problem is the way that we see, the way that we look at prayer. And it's because of the way that we are raised. Because growing up in our culture, in our society, where busyness and activity is just the norm. This is just what we do. We learn it. We teach our kids it. You pack as much as you can. You know, almost to the point that when we have a day off, a night off at home with nothing to do, we're kind of going, you feel guilty, like I should be doing something. What have I missed, right? That's kind of the way we are. And so because prayer is not, it's not tangible, right? It's not very active. We don't see it as accomplishing anything. And so we kind of look at it, it's a waste of time because I'm not doing it. I'm just sitting there praying, not doing anything. I got to be busy. I got to be doing. And so it's that mindset, right? It's that mindset that we have. And so prayer is, just like Susan said, communication with God. That's what prayer is. It is communication. It is, here, prayer is all about building and nurturing that relationship with our Heavenly Father. This is what prayer is, okay? We want to grow. We want to nurture that relationship with our Heavenly Father. And Jesus' attitude along those same lines is that, man, he had so much to do the next day, he needed to talk with his Heavenly Father in order to sort things out, in order to remain focused, in order to gain some strength. Because the busier that he was, the more crucial it was for Jesus to carve out some time to pray, even on those occasions when he had to pull an all-nighter. So why did Jesus pray? The first reason that Jesus prayed was this, to receive guidance in making important decisions. To receive guidance in making important decisions. We notice in our scripture, right after he is done praying, he goes out and he picks 12 disciples. 12 people that are going to continue, that he's going to build into for a couple of years and continue his movement. And so this isn't a random thing. He doesn't go down the mountain and just say, hey, I need 12 of you. Count off. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. That's not what he's doing, right? But he's got in his mind, he's got to pick 12. Now, I like to think, what is going through Jesus' mind? Okay, I like that guy Peter. He's a bit of a hothead. Now, I don't know if I want him. Should I go with him? What do you think? Go with Peter, right? Matthew. He selects Matthew. Matthew's a tax collector. We already saw that. And so Jesus is probably rolling over in his mind, how is being a tax collector who everybody hates, how is he going to work and get along with the other? Is he going to cause problems? Should I go with Matthew? I think God directs him, go with Matthew. He picks that one guy who is the zealot. Now, there's a political movement among the Jewish people. One of them was called the Zealots. Don't know if this guy was one of those, but they had the attitude of the only good Roman is a dead Roman. And if you had an opportunity to kill a Roman, you would do that because they were the enemies of God, so they spoke. And so Jesus thinking, man, he's a good guy, a lot of potential, but he's one of those zealots. He could really sway the group in the wrong way. And then there's Judas, right? Oh, my goodness. I wonder if he had any thoughts about taking Judas. Did he see in advance taking what it would be like taking? I mean, we can have a great, for those of you who like to have political, but theological discussions on what did Jesus know when he selected Judas, right? But he selected Judas. And so Luke is showing us something really important here that we've got to get, and that is when Jesus has important decisions to make, he goes before his heavenly Father. That's a good lesson for us. A couple of years ago, I went hiking in Shenandoah National Park, and I took this loop. It's about 8 miles, and I went down this one mountain and into the valley, and I come up the other side. But when I was going down this mountain, it was rugged. It was really stony, and it was hard, you know, ankle twisting for a long period of time. And man, it was just hard going down it. And so when I, you know, did everything, it's great. I knocked it off my list, and I would, like I always do when I take my hikes, I get on Facebook and I would share on the Shenandoah National Park hikers Facebook page, hey, here's the pictures of my hike. Here's where I went. And I took this loop, and I went this way. And I got a response back. One guy says, whoa, really? You went down that mountain? You should have taken the loop the other way, and because it's a lot easier walking up all those rocks. And then another guy chimes in. Yeah, man, I can't believe you did that. Good for you. And then somebody else chimes in. Yeah, you should always take the other way. I'm kind of like, oh, you know, if I'd have only known. And here's the thing. The night before, I could have just typed in on that same page, hey, I'm thinking about doing such and such a loop. Which way should I go? And I would have received good advice, helpful advice. Instead, you know, it was more of a challenge. God's like that. God's like that. We have paths laid out in front of us, and God is there to give us a wealth of advice and guidance and wisdom, and we have access to that. We have access to God. Psalm 25:4, good verse here, says this, show me the right path, O Lord. Point out the road for me to follow. But we have to spend time with him. Okay? Chances are God is not going to send me an email or a text and say, hey, this is what you need to do. I look for that. I haven't gotten it yet, right? So how do I get direction from God? I got to spend time with him. And I know for me, when I spend time, and I love to sit on my back patio in times of quiet, when I sit there and I start thinking about things, all of a sudden I start getting ideas in my head. Once you call this person, you could probably say this. And to solve that, why don't you do this? I get these ideas in my head. Now, am I so bold to think that is that's the Holy Spirit speaking to me and directing me in the way that I should go? And the way that I get it, though, is I spend time doing nothing, right? Just sitting there, communicating with my Heavenly Father. One of the reasons why we pray is to receive guidance from God. We read that Jesus taught the people, and then he would spend hours healing people, casting out evil spirits, listening to people. Remember I talked about before, I think when Jesus healed people, he didn't just go healed, next, healed. He didn't just do that. He listened to your story, right? He got it. He, you know, tell me about your situation. I think Jesus listened to people. Man, that would be draining to listen to all these people's problems. And then to have to think about teaching the disciples who were thick-headed. Okay, Jesus even said one time, how long am I going to put up with you? Why can't you guys get this? And so, you know, Jesus is having to deal with all that. And these high-strength stress events, I'm sure, wore Jesus down. And I don't think he could just always go for the coffee or the five-hour energy like a lot of people do these days, right? And I don't think he turned to Peter and said, Peter, do you have any of those little pills that you fishermen take to stay up all night when you go fishing? You know, I don't think Jesus did that, right? And so the second reason that Jesus prayed was to gain strength needed to accomplish what must be done. To gain the strength needed to accomplish what must be done. Now, a very simple illustration for this is something that many of us are familiar with, and that is our phone charger. Every night, we plug in our phone to recharge our phone, right? Jesus spent time in prayer to be recharged, to be energized for the tasks that God had laid out for him. And we, you know, this doesn't have to be anything special. It can be just our everyday chores and duties and experiences that can drain us. This past Monday, I was not looking forward to Monday because it was chore Monday. And they were, you know, like abnormal chores. Like go down to the tax office and try to explain, why did I get this bill? Why do I have to have a penalty here? I had to call the gas company. Because they had come out. I had extra charge in my bill, right? I don't like talking to people over the phone, especially when they're in India. That was part of it, right? I had to call the water purification company because our water's like, you know, turning clothes brown. What's going on there? So all these conversations. And, you know, for some of you, you can eat that up, no problem. For others of us, we have situations, problems that we have to do that just drain us, man. They just wear us out. Not to mention, so these are just the normal stuff of life. Not to mention if you're a parent, right? Or you're taking care of a loved one. Those things can be draining. They are difficult, you know. Dealing with the loss of something significant in your life or any stressful situation that has come into your life, we've got to deal with that. It's a challenge. Verse that many of you are familiar with, Philippians chapter 4. And so this is many are familiar with it, but hang on, listen to what this says. Here's what Paul says. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And he says, the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And then just a couple verses later, he said this, catch this. I know what it is to be in need, stressful situation. And I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, stressful situation. Whether living in plenty or in want, stressful situation. I can do all this through him who gives me strength. Right? What was Paul's secret? What was the secret that he was talking about there? The secret was he spent time with his Heavenly Father. He spent time in prayer. And because he spent time with prayer, he gave him strength to be able to deal with those situations that he was going through. Another reason that Jesus prayed, if we go back to verse 11, if you have your Bibles open, look back at verse 11. This is where we ended with last week, where the Pharisees and the teachers of the law were furious and began to discuss with one another what they might do to Jesus. Remember last week, if you were here last week, Jesus ticked off the religious leaders who, because he had healed the guy with the withered hand on the Sabbath, and that really, really got under the skin of the religious leaders And so they were, now they're out to get him, right? And so Jesus had to deal with confrontation and opposition in his ministry. And they would continue to come after him and try and undercut whatever he was doing. And even go after the people that he was ministering to try and get them to turn on Jesus. Here's the third reason that Jesus prays. To stay focused on his mission and purpose despite external threats. To stay focused on his mission and purpose despite external threats. I often, when I go and visit people, it's often with people who are older, people who are shut-ins. And we generally end up discussing how life has changed for these folks. And a lot of you in here are older too, just to get that out there. But there comes to a point in life when things change. Because we have lived all of our life, most of our life, having life all figured out. I mean, we just life is in control. And now all of a sudden, especially when we get older, it becomes unfamiliar to us because there are changes that are going on. There are health issues that we got to deal with. We lose our freedom. We lose our independence. I've sat with people that are dealing with, I can't drive anymore. What's my future going to be? I'm sitting with people who have to decide, I can't take care of myself anymore. I've got to go into a nursing home, a care facility. This is why we love to reminisce about the good old days, isn't it? Because in the good old days, we were more in control. But now we find out that the world is changing so fast around us, including our own self, right? Our bodies are changing. And there's fear in that. There's fear. Fear of the future, fear of losing my health, fear of losing my freedom, fear, do I have enough money in the bank account? Fear of what's going on in our society around us. If people say, man, I'm afraid for our country. And so we have these external threats that are around us. Age, health issues, stress at work, raising children, being busy, having to do this and that, an encroaching society and culture with its different values, or just some life event. Life throws us a joker. And each of these can knock us off the path and knock us off the plan that God has for us. Isaiah 26:3 says this, "You will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast because they trust in you." And when we go to God in prayer, our thoughts and our minds are connected to God, and we're thinking about God, and we're thinking about his promises, we remain steadfast. And so we're not affected by those external threats. And prayer helps us. Prayer helps us stay connected. Prayer continues to give us a purpose so that even as we get up in age, hear me on this, you still have a purpose. God still has a plan for you until you are dead and buried, okay? God still has a plan. It's going to be different than it was 10, 20, 30 years ago. A lot of times the older people make, I can't do what I used to, so I guess I'm not that much good to God. Yeah, keep telling yourself that. If that's your out. God's got a plan. And one of the reasons why we pray is stay focused on his mission and purpose. Now, the good news here is this. In order to pray, we don't need to pull an all-nighter like Jesus did, right? It's not like, oh, okay, I'm gonna do this. But it is helpful for each one of us to have a prayer life, okay? And I'm not talking about the pull in case of emergency. That's not a prayer life, right? The little red thing. That's part of prayer. But I'm talking about having a prayer, because what prayer is communication with God, right? And so it's helpful that we all have, so how do we pray, right? And I've mentioned this before. We've been talking about, we just talked about it this week in our Practicing the Way course. And if you have your outline out, take your outline, if you would, please, and just look at this, because this can help you just start up having a prayer life, okay? Find a secluded place. Find a place where you can be alone and uninterrupted, where there's not a lot of activity. Now if you got kids, I know this is a challenge, okay? But you still find a time. It might be later at night, right? For me, I love my back patio, man. I love my back patio. And it's getting cooler out there, so that just means I need to put a winter coat on. When there's snow, I'll go inside. But anyhow, second thing, pick a good time. If you're going to communicate with God, we should probably be at your best, right? I need my shower. I need to be awake before I start talking to God. For you, it might be if you're working, maybe it could be at a lunch break. Put the headphones on, just sit back, have some time alone with God. I could never do it at night before bed. Way too tired, man. I would just zonk out. That just wouldn't work for me. But if it works for you, this is what we're talking about, prayer, just hanging out with God. Here's the third thing. Quiet down. Just settle down. One of the best things I love to do. So this is one of the highlights of my day, is when I get on my back patio and I have an Adirondack chair there, and I just sit back in that Adirondack chair and I just take a couple of deep breaths. I just breathe in and out, just like, and I look out of my backyard and just say, thank you, God. That's just how I start. That's just how I start, right? Just begin to quiet down, right? Get rid of distractions. Man, if you have your phone there, that could be a problem, right? Certainly don't have the TV on. I know some people, man, the TV's on like 24 hours. Turn the TV off. Have some time with God. Get rid of distractions and just begin to just to focus on God. Now, here's the thing. This is going to be hard because we're not used to it, okay? And if you're like me, I'll be the first to admit it, I get into this time where I'm thinking about God and I'm praying. All of a sudden, I'm thinking about, oh, yeah, I got to do that today. What about, I wonder about that. And it's like, I'm off. So when I go off, you know what I do? Oh, I'm here to talk to God. You just come back. You don't beat yourself up. You just come back. See, that's how we do. Good thing to do is read scripture. Perhaps any touch of Psalms. Jesus read the Psalms. He knew the Psalms. I say he read them. He knew the Psalms. And so, when I walk in the morning around my loop, I'll start off by quoting the 23rd Psalm. A lot of us know the 23rd Psalm already. The Lord is my shepherd. And I don't do it to get through it, but I do it slowly, personably, right? You are my shepherd. I have everything that I need, right? Or the Lord's Prayer. Hopefully, we've been saying the Lord's Prayer often enough that you know the Lord's Prayer, and you can just say the Lord's Prayer. Not just, don't race around it, but you say it, our Father who art in heaven. I do that as I walk around. You can do that. That's a good way to start, okay? So, how long should your prayer time be? It depends how holy you are. No, it doesn't, right? Because that's what we start thinking. And or we start thinking like, oh, I want to really be holy, so I'm going to start off with an hour. Don't do that, okay? If you don't on a regular basis, just do a couple minutes. Just start off with a couple minutes and let it grow, okay? And just let it grow. Remember, we want to hang out with our Heavenly Father. We want to hang out for opportunities throughout the day to augment this special prayer time. I went to always a good time for prayer, right? You go to the dinner. And I was sitting in the waiting office, and I'm thinking, first of all, this is a good chance to go through some of my emails. Some of the emails that I don't have to read but are more spiritual. So I took the opportunity to read through them. But then I also think, and this is what a lot of people do and what we do out of habit, is we break out our phone and we go to Facebook or something like that, okay? And we just look at mindless stuff, Okay? I got rid of Facebook off my phone a couple weeks ago for that very reason. I was just wasting time. Okay? Or people play games. I don't have games on my phone. I'm not against games on your phone. But man, they can suck your time right out of you. And this is an opportunity. So I'm sitting in the office and reading some things and then taking time and just praying. Just communicating with God. And then when I sat in that dentist chair, I was praying. But then when I was even just waiting for the dentist, I was just taking advantage of that opportunity and talking to God. And here's the thing. If you begin to recognize those times throughout your week, throughout your day, and just say, oh, even at a red light, right? Even at a red light. So we take advantage of opportunities to talk to our Heavenly Father. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, Paul said this, pray continually. What do you mean by that? What he means is talk to God throughout your day. That's simply what he means there, okay? That's simply what it means. So that's how to pray. Now, we wrap up right here, last minute. In this passage, as Luke is introducing us to Jesus, he wants to show us something very, very important. And he kicks off this section in verse 12 by saying, Jesus went up to the mountain to pray, spent all night in prayer, right? And then he ends this section by saying, all the people tried to touch him because power was coming from him and healing them all. Luke wants us to understand something, and that is that power, that prayer leads to power. That prayer leads to power. It's funny that I switched that around, because when I was practicing this, I messed it up, and I told myself, oh, I don't really, this is an important line. I don't want to mess it up. And guess what I did? I messed it up. But then that gives me an opportunity to say it again. Luke wants us to know that prayer leads to power, right? Power to make wise decisions. Power to heal people, to direct us to people that we could lead to healing, that we could help out. Power to make decisions. Power to live a godly life. Power to get through difficult times and stay faithful. This is available to us. This is available to us. And the concept is this simple. It is this simple, right? Stay connected to the power source. It's that simple. Would you bow your heads, please? I would give you this opportunity right now to connect with God in this time of silence. Just pause and be still and listen for God, His Holy Spirit, to speak to you. What are you going to do with whatever God has spoken to you? How might you spend time alone with God this week? Father God, we thank you that you are a God who wants to spend time with us. And the reason you want to spend time with us is that you want to impart on us wisdom to get along in this world. You want to re-energize us so that we can enjoy the abundant life. And you want to keep us on the right path. That is why you continually invite us to be with you. And so, Lord, forgive us for those times when we've cut you out of our life, when we've decided to overcrowd our life and you get squeezed out. Lord, show us more clearly every week, every day, how we might spend more time with you. And we look forward to spending more time with you. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.